I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. Today's guest built a multi-million dollar company out of his one-bedroom apartment with no investors, no degree, and no shortcuts. Yusuf Benhamida is the founder and CEO of Humboldt Secret Supplies, or HS Supplies, as they go by, one of the top-selling plant nutrient brands in the U.S. And he did it all from my hometown, San Diego. And there he was hand-mixing products and hustling through algorithm battles on Amazon. If you know anything about that, you know how hard that is. But that's only half the story. Yusuf's real transformation came after losing everything, financially, emotionally, and personally. What he's built since isn't just a thriving business, but a philosophy on what it takes to succeed in life and leadership. He's also the author of the boldly titled $1 Million Hot Girls and a Ferrari. And if you think you know what that book is about, think again. If you're ready for real talk on business, burnout, bounce backs, and the truth behind the hustle, you're going to love this conversation. So welcome, Yusuf.
Hello.
Let's start at the beginning. You started HS Supplies in a one-bedroom apartment. That's like the story that, you know, when people think of entrepreneurs, that's what they want to start off telling. Oh, we started in our garage. We started in our apartment.
Yeah.
What did those, you know, it's one thing to have that story and tell it now, but it's another thing to look at what those days actually look like in real life and reality. What was the moment that you realized you were onto something actually, you know, real?
Yeah. The day, so I split the two things that I was going after. I had like a set amount of money and I cut it in half, and I was exploring being a realtor in La Jolla. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sell houses. And then I took half the money, invested in that, and took half the money and made the product in the apartment. And I think I sold a couple bottles here and there, but one day somebody went on the site and bought $600 worth. And that day I made $500, and you know, I had spent like a whole year doing like one deal, and I didn't make that much as a first year in a realtor. So, you know, the moment they bought that, nobody really knew about me. So my logic was, if everybody knew about me, how much could I sell then? If, you know, so that's the day that changed everything.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. But you also said that hitting rock bottom was also a turning point. What happened there? How did that breakdown lead to like this version of you?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure I hit rock bottom multiple times. You know what?
right.
What? You know, I've had a couple of them, but one of them, what was way later? Was way later after things were going well. This was like years after I started. You know, when I got cliff top, and then I made some mistakes. I just wasn't paying attention. I didn't really know what it was like to actually be a business owner. I thought I was just going to coast, and then life kind of smacked me in the head.
Well, that's a really good point. So like, what is actually being a business owner mean now to you than it did then?
Yeah, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint typically. It's a marathon over decades. So I just thought it was going to be like, I didn't think it was going to be as long of a path. And sure. I thought also I didn't really have a big enough vision. So I thought I had reached something really high, and I realized it wasn't actually that high that I got. So you get what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point. So like business planning and looking outward and with no formal background, like that's no joke. And so after time, and now that you've been doing this for a long time, you're like, wow, I was really short-sighted there. How did you go about planning, testing, growing? Like, you know, you had to do everything from the ground up without any kind of traditional roadmap. And it sounds like no real like long-term vision or plan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did whatever it took. It's called For What It Takes. And I did whatever it took. It's like Nick Bollettieri, it's tennis pro, if you know about him, he always says champions do whatever it takes, literally. So, I mean, I would take things so I wouldn't sleep. I would stay up because I would work from 8 a.m. to midnight every single day. So I'd get tired. And so literally, I would take stimulants. I would take wakefulness drugs, or I would take other things so I wouldn't go to sleep. Some people drink coffee, and that probably would suffice. And do you necessarily need them? No, but at the, you know, I did take stimulants to make myself stay awake for long periods of time.
Wow. Yeah. What were some of the most like unexpected hurdles in the early business stages? I mean, that's something that I think people don't really talk about. You know, what you're saying is like the things that we do physically to get us through the day. But especially when you're dealing with things like product development or e-commerce logistics, things like that, like you're trying to really stay focused on these things. What was an unexpected hurdle during that time?
I don't even know where to start. Yeah, anything you could possibly think of. Product being bad, making the product wrong, running out of money, not having enough money, compliance issues. I mean, buying poor machinery, investing in wrong, going too cheap on machinery or going cheap in a lot of areas and paying for it later. I could talk for hours on it.
Yeah. And those are all things that, you know, it sounds like you did a lot of trial and error, learn by experience, but learn you did because you're still here, right? I think a lot of times entrepreneurs overthink the plan and they're like in that planning stage for so long because they can't get out of that cycle. Like they never take action on it. But it sounds like you did the exact opposite. You were like, okay, ready, fire, aim. Like we're going to go and like we're kind of correct course as we go.
A lot of it, I actually say, and thinking about it actually, is, you know, a lot of the personal life. So when you start maybe even getting success and have some extra money, you know, what you do with the money. So I might have went to the nightclub too much or started drinking too much alcohol. That's not going to help, and got entangled with the wrong girls. And that's going to really mess a lot of things up.
I love that. Like, I love that that's kind of, I think a lot of times when people come on here, they're talking strictly about like the business side of it, and they leave out all those other distractions and things that you're going through personally, whether you're, you know, like what you're saying. And now you're really vocal about discipline being more powerful than motivation even. How has that mindset helped shape your business strategy and like daily things that you do based on like what you were saying you kind of experienced early on personally?
Yeah, surprisingly, the distractions are probably the biggest hurdle which keeps people from reaching new heights. I would say actually that would have a more impact on not allowing you to go certain places.
Yeah.
So that's just what I found. I've just noticed there's things I cannot do if I'm doing other things.
What was it that kind of brought you back to be like, okay, I'm getting distracted? You know, you can look back and say now, oh, it was I was in with the wrong crowd. I was doing the wrong things. Was there like a moment or was it just kind of over time that you were like, okay, if I want to get here, I need to kind of move on from that?
There's a lot of things like that. Sometimes I've just run into situations where, you know, if I had more money or if I was more successful or if I wasn't wasting my time in X situation, this wouldn't have happened. So, then when you realize, oh, okay, if I wasn't doing this with all that time and I was doing this, then this would not have happened to me. And I think the pain actually pushes you forward. So yeah, the pain typically from any situation, whether it's a girl running off with another guy, that'll definitely, some people either go step up or step down. But either way, pain typically has pushed me forward, whatever situation you run into in life.
Yeah, self-inflicted or self, like your decisions or circumstantial even, it sounds like. It's just whatever that is. I think that's a good characteristic to kind of tell people who are going to do what it takes or not, is what do they do when they're faced in hard circumstances? You know, when they're feeling pain, like you said, does it propel you forward or does that flatten you out? And for people who are listening that are maybe trying to do this and they have like a side hustle and they want to be serious about it, what would you say are the first real systems that they need to get into place to like get onto that track?
It's incremental. Let's see, if they want to turn their side hustle into something serious.
Or even some, you know, I mean, maybe in a place where they weren't as serious and maybe they are doing it full time, but just kind of switching into that hey, I need to get good systems in place mentality. Like, what do you say? I mean, I know we talked a lot about some personal things. It sounds like really either maybe working on yourself personally and good habits or things in your business that you need to really kind of focus on, either however you interpret that, or maybe a little bit of both.
I mean, you just got to have a vision of where you want to be in the future and then just remove all this stuff that's getting in your way that doesn't serve you. And that's whether that's cutting whoever you need to cut out and stop doing whatever you're doing that's, you know, not allowing you to get there. You got to do it. That's all it is, just cutting things out slowly to where there's nothing in front of you anymore. And then it's just a matter of time before you work and improve little things here and there every day before you'll get there. It's always a time formula. So it's just you got to have a vision, time, stop doing the wrong things, and you'll gradually get there.
There it is. You guys heard it here first, everyone. Like, it's easier said than done, right? Like, we were like, hey, if you want to do this, you can't be doing that. Well, but it's so much harder when you're in it, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, when I hear everything that you're saying now, it sounds so black and white, but I can hear how much you kind of went through going back, you know, and being in that time. And I feel like your story speaks to like emotional recovery, healing, you know, like you're talking about pain and experiences. What role do you think healing, like mentally, physically, spiritually, played in your ability to kind of do what it takes, right? To step into where you are now and lead and grow.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Like, what do you think the healing part, you know, like you said, you kind of learned the pain was that trajectory, but there's very clearly been like healing from that pain, right? Like, you don't stay there. It just kind of catapults you into the next thing. What role do you think healing has played in your ability to grow?
Healing. Healing. Well, I feel like I'm healed when I run a few miles every day, I don't drink alcohol, and I don't blow my money on stupid stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it helps. Of course, it helps. You know, so it helps.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about your book, $1 Million, Hot Girls and a Ferrari. What's the message behind that bold title?
So, I mean, every guy wants, if you were to hand him on a silver platter, $1 million, if you were to ask anybody, 18, 19, 20 years old or even older, would you like $1 million, hot girls in your life, or even a hot girl as a girlfriend and a Ferrari? They'd all take it. I've even told girls and they said it's a trifecta. That's what I wanted as a kid. That's what a lot of people want. And most people, 99.9% of guys won't have it. They might have $1 million, they might have Ferrari, but they're not going to have a girl of their dreams, maybe. So it's just kind of all the things that a guy would want. And I did it. I got it all. I lost it all. And it's the whole story of, was it worth it at all? You know, is it worth it? Is it going to make you happy? So
yeah, it's chasing that dream. And then you finally have it. You're kind of looking around going, okay, now what? Right? Like, what do you feel like the biggest thing was that you learned from all of that?
$1 million is not that much money.
Right. If you're blowing it, like you said, like if you're spending it on things, you can find things to spend it on for sure.
Yeah. $1 million is not that much money. I mean, hot girls, that's another story. And Ferrari is honestly, it's we've been kind of manipulated by advertisement to think it's a really cool car. It's kind of cool, but they're probably not as cool as some might think, but.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we always ask our signature question because, you know, we're talking about what it takes and you've touched a lot on like your personal journey, which I really, really love because learning kind of those lessons translates into how you're going to be in business and do, you know, doing with your business. What, in your words, does it take to be a successful business owner?
Takes a lot. Takes a lot. And it depends on what level of success you want to go to. You know, there's a big difference between $1 million in revenue and $10 million in revenue or even $100 million in revenue. And, you know, profit's another story. But staying alive, you have to have a big stomach. You know, like the stomach they say for the stock market. Warren Buffett always says, like, you got to have a stomach that can handle the swings. It's really about the stomach and how much you can handle pain and stay alive financially.
I think that's a really good point. And we always say plan for the rainy day during sunshine, right? Like it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and you're going to hit hard times and you're going to see either economy swinging, you know, the market changing, culture changing, needs changing, whatever it is, it's going to happen. And just kind of to your point, it's like, do you have the stomach for it? You know, because these are things that you are going to have to face. And if you're going to do what it takes, like you've got to be able to withstand all of those changes and wait until that pendulum swings back to the other side, because it also will, right? Like it always comes back around. It's just a matter of like, how long are you going to stay in it to experience that, right?
You know, the interesting thing I will say to is that, so like a lot of people are controlled by money in the world. And I think when you get to the point that you control money and you don't get controlled by money and you realize that it's just a number on a screen, sometimes I feel like I'm controlled by money and I'm like, hold on, it's just a number on a screen. But you don't get fazed by number swings anymore. And initially I was very swing, you know, 25 grand or 100 grand or, you know, all these numbers going around or even bigger numbers. It doesn't affect me as much anymore. So.
Yeah,
you're just numbers on the screen, but of course you can't get your number to go too low.
No, that's a really good point. But even if it does, I mean, because I've certainly been there too, especially during the pandemic when, you know, I was making really, really tough decisions and I went into the rainy day fund, I went into the line of credit, I went into, you know, all the things and kind of went to, as far as I could go down, feeling like down the drain. But I also had this feeling like, hey, we're all going through this. It is not going to be here forever. We're going to figure this out. And just kind of knowing, and as much as I was watching those numbers go down on the screen, like you said, and so I didn't feel necessarily, there was never a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we're never going to make it. I just kind of always knew, hey, this is going to end. And I think it's because I've been through recessions before. I had been through, you know, many of these things before. So by the time I hit that point where it was like, you know, we couldn't plug up the drain fast enough, like money was leaving faster than it was coming in, it still felt very much like, hey, there's going to be an end to this too. But I think that's a really good observation and a point that if this is something that controls you, this is not the business to get into, you know, sitting in this business owner seat, because you're always going to have to face it. And so, yeah, I think that's so good. Yusuf, you didn't just give us like the highlight reel. You gave us the truth, man, from like gutting it out in the apartment and rebuilding yourself with everything like falling apart. I think your journey is proof that success isn't just about strategy. It's about resilience, discipline, the stomach, you know, being willing to confront your own story and your own things that you're really truly after. I think people don't necessarily tell the truth like that. Like they're not honest with themselves or they're not honest outwardly. Like, hey, these are the things I'm chasing after, you know, the $1 million, the hot girl and the Ferrari, like, okay, like own it, you know? I mean, and I think if that resonates with anyone else and you like this episode, please go check out his book and follow Yusuf. Where can they find you if they're looking for you, our listeners?
I have an Instagram. It's just my name. And then I have a LinkedIn. I'm sure if they search my name, I'll probably be there. And
awesome. Yeah.
That's mostly all I have.
And then your website for your company, if they wanted to look into your product.
I have the website is Humboldt Secret Supplies. I have a personal website. That's awesome. My name as well.
Yeah, we can put all of that in our show notes as well. And as always, thank you so much for listening to What It Takes, and we will catch you next time. Thanks, Yusuf.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to SeekerSolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at SeekerSolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.